officials, taking the lead role as part of an investigative task force to determine the cause. According to LAPD Chief Jim McDonnell, the task force is comprised of several state, federal, and local partners. For those traveling in Greater LA today, you can find a list of road closures at lacounty.gov /road closures, lacounty.gov/road closures. And again, for a list of recommendations, current evacuation orders, and other warnings for RKPFK listeners, they can be found at watchduty.com. A link for Watch Duty app can be found at the KPFK homepage at kpfk.org. Also recommended for up-to-date official information, you can go to CAL FIRE at their website at fire.ca.gov. And for more KPFK news coverage, join us at 6 p.m. for the weekend edition of KPFA News, including coverage of our LA fires. For KPFK 90.7 FM, I'm Hal Lohr, and stay tuned. Coming up next, the car show, already in progress.
Over 50 years, or at least it's broadcasting if the fires didn't reach the transmitter on top of Mount Wilson, which, according to the most up-to-date reports we have, they saved everything on top of Mount Wilson. So thank you to firefighters for that and for all that they do. Our hearts go out to everyone who is hurting from all this devastation, and we wish you all the best, all the best, whatever your struggle may be in this trying time. We're here to offer you a little respite from your troubles and a chance to talk about one of your favorite topics for just 58 minutes. That would be cars. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by a radio veteran, our Orange County Bureau Chief, a practicing attorney, a member of the Motor Press Guild, and the owner of not one but two Mazdas, a Miata, and an RX-8, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, Mark. Well, it's good to be with you. Like you said, I'm horribly saddened about what happened this last week in LA with our fires, and hope that everybody's doing okay.
Yeah, so many people are not. I called around to several people I know to see, you know, I mean, there's so many terrible ways this has affected Southern California, but so far it seems there were no car museum that was lost, no major collection that was lost. It seems like from the car world, which admittedly is only one very small sliver of this big catastrophe we're living through, the car collector world, at least so far, seems to be okay. We'll let you know if we hear anything else along those lines. But in these terrible times, the car show is here for you. With the Southern California winds and fires and all that, you may have an evacuee hold up in your friend's garage. Somewhere, or you may be that friend offering safe haven from the fires, parked far away from the heat and the smoke. If that's the case, take that evacuee to something car related and help them get their mind off the mess we are in. And there's where our calendar section comes in. You can get away, forget your troubles just for a little bit. Check out some cruise-ins, drive-throughs, wreck and runs. There's too many to list here. If you're looking for something to do in Southern California, we usually recommend, if we don't mention it here, you can go check out SoCalCarCulture.com, and you can find events from Chino Hills to Woodland Hills. In fact, looking up their list of things just for tomorrow, Sunday, January 12th, we've got events: Chino Hills, Escondido, Lakewood, Long Beach, Newport Beach, Northridge, Seal Beach, Sunland, Thousand Oaks, Upland Ventura, and Woodland Hills. That's just one of the days where they have stuff. So these are mostly cruise-ins and things like that, you know, hot rods and deals like that, but they're kind of fun. So we plucked a few items out of the massive list of things going on, indeed beyond that list that we just read you. Let's have a look. Tomorrow, last we heard, Supercar Sunday was still going to happen at L.A. Pierce College, 6201 Winnetka Avenue, enter on Victory Boulevard, and Mason Street entrances. Those are the only entrances open, as we always say. That's tomorrow, January 12th, from 7 to 10 a.m. at L.A. Pierce College. Be sure that it's open. Go to supercarsunday.com before you step out the door. Make sure it's going on. Another spot far away from the fires is going to be the High Performance Swap Meet and Car Show, January 12th at Long Beach Veterans Stadium, 5000 Lou Davis Street, from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Lou is spelled L-E-W. I would like to go to that. I don't think I've ever been to that. Have you been, Michelle?
No. High performance, huh? So yeah. We're talking, if you want a new turbo, you want to get some better brake pads or stuff like that, or airflow devices.
I don't know. No, I don't think, I think it's, yes to all of the above. And I don't know, having never been there, I couldn't tell you, but I would imagine if you saw a car you liked and offered them enough money, maybe you could buy it right then and there. But go down there, check it out, and let us know what you find, and that'll be fun. Also next weekend, Los Angeles Regional Custom Motorcycle Show. You want to take that one, Michelle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one, it probably isn't even in that list that we mentioned.
No, I didn't see it.
I found out about this one on Facebook. This is a regional motorcycle competition. And so they're going to swing through LA at Bartels, Harley-Davidson, and Marina Del Rey. It's a judged motorcycle show. So that's something you could do, Mark, if you have.
Yeah, I actually have two motorcycles in the backyard. One of them does not run. The other one is a press bike, so I could take the press bike.
There you go. Well, it's on the 18th, next Saturday, from 9 to 5. You do have to register. And it's going to cost you, drum roll, $50 to register to compete. Go to motorcyclesandcoffee.com to enter. You will get a limited edition t-shirt for your troubles. If you would like to just spectate and not show a motorcycle, you can get in for free. The competition categories, I wonder which one of these would work for you, for your tester. Bagger, Chopper, FXR, Vintage, Lowrider, Sportster, and Best of Show.
It's a BMW K1600, so I don't know which one that would fit in.
Sportster, probably. Okay. So if you get in the top three in each category, you get to go to Vegas. You'll have an invite to go to the final competition on February 1st in Vegas. It'll be at West Coast Customs, Harley-Davidson up there. So, you know, let's see how it goes, Mark.
Yeah, I'll, who knows? I might actually get out there and do that.
that would be cool.
I kind of doubt it since it's a totally stock motorcycle. And it has 6,000 miles on it. The guys who had it before me, it was some German guy flew over and convinced BMW to give him this thing. And they 6,000 miles, that's across the country and back. It's a lot of riding.
Maybe he took it across Europe.
Who knows? No.
Who knows?
He took it across America. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
the Wild West tour that the Germans like to take. all right. Next.
Another thing happening on Sunday the 19th out at Paris Auto Speedway. Now, if you are just frothing at the mouth to get into a sprint car and put it all through its paces around four corners in the oval at Paris, this event is for you. The sprint car driving experience is back. They do this occasionally there. And the deal is you just show up and they will put you in a car and they will give you all the safety equipment. I'm assuming that means a helmet, but if you have your own, you can bring it. So just make sure that you call them and tell them you want to go. It's literally just a phone number that you call. And here's the number. 760-559-5924, and you're going to talk to Billy Perkins to get signed up for Sunday the 19th.
Now, I've never done that sprint school. I've done the one at Ventura, and there's one up north, I believe, at Marysville. I've done both of those. And just my only recommendation to you is, first of all, as soon as you get in a thing, just floor it. Just go for it. Because you
hammer
can
down.
Do this. Second thing, when you lift off to go around the corner and kick the back end out, don't lift off suddenly. Lift off gently. I lifted off suddenly the whole time I was doing it. Where was that? Marysville. That was the first time I did it. And I think I might have destroyed the differential. So liftoff gently, because it'll still come around. But it is really a blast. What do they have, like 600 horsepower or something like that?
More than that. They have 900. Okay. Yeah.
Ah, it was 650 in my day. But it's very, very, it's a very slippery track, but they are extraordinarily stable, surprisingly stable. So that sounds like a good time.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have a price for you, but give him a call and he'll tell you.
Yeah, it's not free.
No, it is not free.
To spend what might be a lot of money, but
I would say at least a couple $100.
Just, this is better than gambling, you know, going to Las Vegas and throwing all your money away. Why not, instead of spending it on that, you know,
do a couple laps
or on any number of other things. Come shoes. And do it.
Shoes. At least for women, it's shoes.
If you still have money left after that, the next Pomona swap meet is Sunday, January 19th in the parking lot by the drag strip at the Fairplex in Pomona. Get there early. We're saying 5 a.m. If you want to buy something, you have something specific you want to buy. If you're just cruising around looking at stuff, you don't have to get there at 5 a.m. Bring a wagon for all the junk you're going to buy. Pomona swap meet Sunday, January 19th in the parking lot, at the drag strip, at the Fairplex in Pomona. And then a big event, the granddaddy of them all, the 75th Grand National Roadster Show, January 31st to February 2nd at the Fairplex in Pomona. Over 500 show vehicles will compete for awards inside the Fairplex buildings. Another 400 to 800 vehicles will join the event each day for the 19th annual Granddaddy Drive-In. Vehicles will park between the buildings as part of the show. Tickets are $40 at rodshows.com. We might have the guy who puts all that together, John Buck. He might be on the show in a couple of weeks, so he can tell us all about it and what's going on in particular this week. But it's always a good time. I've been covering that thing forever. Mm-hmm. There's some, in addition to the 12 cars that are going for America's Most Beautiful Roadster Show, the epitome of, it's like the Oscars for cool cars. You know, some people say the Riddler back in Detroit is more prestigious. I have never seen, is this slanderous to say, I have never seen a Riddler car that I thought was at all well done. They're just a little mutated, a little freakish. I don't know. The guys who enter the Roadster show, I'm saying, maybe I'm prejudiced because I'm from Southern California, they seem to have better taste, a better idea of proportions of, you know, dance, as the kids say, just all the things that go into just making it, when you look at it, it looks right. You're far more likely to see something there at the Grand National Roadster Show. Mm. So you got the 12 guys competing for that award, but you have hundreds of other cars, and you just see all these neat cars, and you can just sit there and judge them and say, I don't like the wheels on that one, or whatever you want to say. Go with your
what
buddies.
Were they thinking with that color? Oh.
Exactly. The wheels are wrong, whatever. But then you'll far more likely to see cars that you do like, and almost all of them,
right?
The majority of them are cool and fun to look at. $40 rodshows.com. And then if you find that you don't have enough dust in your life, enough dirt, if you don't have a sunburn already, go to King of the Hammers, January 31st to February 8th out at Johnson Valley in the Mojave Desert. So Johnson Valley is, if you went up over Big Bear and then kept going down the hill into the desert, you would eventually get to Johnson Valley. It's way out there. King of the Hammers is a race for 4x4 vehicles made specifically for driving over boulders. Boulders that range in size from a washing machine to a Volkswagen. There are a few out there as big as your garage. And they drive over these things, and they're racing when they do it. There are a lot of events out there over the course of that time. Starts out with motorcycles and goes to four wheels. Michelle, what do you think?
The Peterson has, I noticed on their website, if you're really interested in King of the Hammers, the Peterson is having some sort of event that is in conjunction with it.
A rally.
Yes, that's it. So there you go. You can
rally
that.
To go out there.
That would be so fun.
They have not promoted these things at all, to me anyway. You see them on their website, peterson.org, and Peterson is all E's. There's no O-N at the end. It's E-N because Pete Peterson was a proud Viking. That's why you saw the Viking on all those Hot Rod magazine covers. They have a lot of these rallies to a lot of different events, and I'm guessing that they sell out pretty early just because they never reach out and try to get more promotion on them. So that's right. One way to go see it. Yeah. There are a lot of ways. You can spend a lot of money. I think they have a deal. You can spend almost $500 to get, you know, some kind of reserve seating and some nice little suite. And I don't know. If you have a fiberglass trailer, tow it out there and park it and become one of the many fiberglass trailers in what they call Hammer Town.
There you go. Hammers. That sounds like a blast.
Yeah. Go check it out. What? I'm scrolling down here. KingOfTheHammers.com. Excellent name for a website about King of the Hammers.
January 31st through February 8th.
Yep. Oh, here are some prices. Yeah, you can spend $595 plus fees and taxes to go out there in a heated and climate-controlled lounge adjacent to the race course with its own restrooms.
That's
you do not have to use the restrooms next to the poor people.
No, you get your VIP restrooms.
Get your and VIP restrooms.
They have they have couches.
Yep, yep. So a pass good for King of the Hammers and King of the Motos is $80.
Nice.
So yeah, it's an interesting event. It's not like nothing else in the world. It's not like, you know, a typical desert race where they're just ripping along over the whoops and through the silt and everything. That they're doing genuine crazy high speed rock crawl.
Yeah, like this stuff is gonna bust the bottom of the trucks, the wheels, the tires, everything. It's awesome because it's like a destruction derby almost.
Remarkable number of them finish. So.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say, and whoever doesn't have catastrophic failure of the chassis or the engine or some other components gets to the finish line.
Meanwhile, on the other opposite extreme, Michelle is going to take us up in the hills of Palos Verdes.
Yes, which has had its own share of calamities brought by Mother Nature.
PVD?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
The landslide.
They had their landslide,
yeah,
which is still an ongoing problem.
Still going.
However, it didn't take out the Promenade Mall in Rolling Hills Estates. So guess what? They have a Cars and Coffee at the Promenade. And this is on, Saturdays. Oh, the first Saturdays, excuse me, of each month. And it starts at 7, ends at 9 on the top level of the Promenade parking lot. And this is at the Rolling Hills Estates. I know we had the address.
Oh, yeah, we did. I have it. I have it somewhere. Well, let's just say Peninsula Cars and Coffee's entrance off Indian Peak Road. Go to promenadepv.com.
All right.
Saturday, February 1st.
Yeah,
oh, here it is. 550 Deep Valley Drive, Rolling Hills Estates. There we go.
Right. Okay. Right. And I guess if you're getting off the 405, the best way to go up there is Hawthorne Boulevard.
Hawthorne.
Yeah.
Takes you all the way up there.
Yeah.
Every stoplight on Hawthorne is always red. Just to deal with it. Well, all right. We're moving on to news, Michelle. You ready?
Oh, yeah. All right.
I just got back from Las Vegas. I did not gamble anything. I have not lost a nickel in Las Vegas because I never put any money anywhere because gambling is a tax on people who don't understand math. So, side point to the fact that the Consumer Electronics Show was in town last week for 4 days, and then there were events all around it. A lot going on there. I tried to see everything car related, and I put together a quick list of quick things that I saw that maybe stood out. There was no major development there. They did not show the anti-gravity car. They did not show the Star Trek transporter? Nothing like that. It's still just cars. But one thing I saw that really appealed to me was Zeekr. That's Z-E-E-K-R. It's a subsidiary of Geely, however you want to pronounce that. a huge Chinese car maker, Zeekr, showed off a few of its cars, and while they did not announce U.S. sales, they all but did. I asked specifically, are you coming to the United States? And I was told, oh, we are not making an announcement at this time. Now, Zeekr is, I sat in one of their cars. It was called the Mix, the Zeekr Mix. So it's like a somewhat shorter, smaller minivan, but it was fully loaded and very comfortable. I just sat in the back, but I was most impressed with it. It had the doors open in a weird, funky way. So they don't open. They're not hinged forward. They're not gull wing. They're not butterfly. They're not falcon wing. They sort of open up and go forward. So they don't swing out. So it doesn't take much room to do it. And you say, oh, that's just a concept car. No, this car and many of these other cars that Zeekr brought have been made in China for many years now. And this particular one that I was in, we asked how much it costs. And the guy, it was a Chinese guy, was telling us, he said that the equivalent, the US dollar equivalent of the car that's on sale in China right now is about $40,000. And I thought, you know, that for something loaded like this one, that was very comfortable to sit in and seemed to be, I don't know, it had everything that I think an American audience would like. But then I like the Mazda 5 too. So what do I know?
Well,
but,
is
40
this,
grand, it seemed worthwhile.
Wow. So is this intended to be the Mix? Is that for just consumers, or is this going to be something that they use for like a ride share?
Yeah, Waymo is going to use them for sure. Waymo is going to use it as the sixth generation passenger hauler. And Waymo had a separate stand there with a Zeekr on it. So that's one customer.
Oh,
but
so
now
we're
you say,
see these.
What about the incoming presidential administration? Is going to cancel everything from China and is going to cancel all electric cars. It is an electric car, by the way. Well, to that, I say that it shares a platform with Volvo, and Volvo has a factory in South Carolina. And so they could very easily start making these things on the Volvo platform. It's the SEA platform from Volvo. So this could all work out. And I thought, why not? I liked it. I might even buy one. You know, I was going to hold out for the Volkswagen ID Buzz, but $71,000 versus $40,000.
Yeah. And we don't know what's going on with the rebate program.
Yeah, that'd probably go away too.
Yeah.
Especially for rich people like us.
Oh, sure.
All our radio money. Oh,
yeah.
Wait, no, we don't get paid for this.
Oh.
Okay. Another car, another cool electric car that was out there, Aptera. Remember Aptera?
No.
Aptera has been promising us a two-seater, three-wheeled, aerodynamically superb car, electrically driven, for, I think it's been, maybe it hasn't been 20 years, but it's been a long time. But this time they say they really mean it. And they had a couple of them out there, production intent cars, and they had solar panels all along the top. And what they're claiming now is that this will go up to 40 miles a day from solar power alone. If you plug it in, you can get 400 miles of range, they say. Cost also $40,000. So, you know, who knows, man? I want to believe this, but I've been lied to so many times. It's like relationships, you know? They just, you never get the straight scoop. So we want them to work. We want them to come out. We want it to succeed. So succeed already.
Well, do you think people like three-wheelers?
Well, the people who are drawn to this are kind of funky engineering geniuses, computer geniuses, people like that. And yes, they do like them. They have a whole different way of looking at the world, and it includes an Aptera.
Okay.
So, I liked it. Okay, another bit of news that came out is that, let's see, Honda confirmed production of the Zero Series EVs. There are two of them,
yes.
A sedan and an SUV. Now, you might have seen the concepts of this that they had out already. The production intent versions that we saw at CES were almost exactly the same. So there are two cars. One is called the Saloon, which is Brit speak for sedan, but it looked really funky. Remember the Dustbuster minivan? If you had taken a Dustbuster minivan and pushed down on the roof gently with about a billion tons of pressure, until the front end looked like a Lamborghini Gallardo and the rest of the car looked like, I don't know what it looked like, but it's very low and sleek. And then the front has an opening. I don't want to say it looks like, what is that whale shark that feeds on plankton with its mouth open as it cruises through? Maybe that's too much of an exaggeration.
But
it looked good. And then it had an SUV there too. They were calling it an SUV, which is just like a raised roof version of this with a D pillar that made the whole thing look, I sound so cynical. It looked like a mid 90s Camry station wagon that had been raised up. I don't know. Is that, I'm too cynical. You can see the pictures at autoweek.com. Check those out.
All right.
Another thing that happened, and we'll get, cause Michelle has a couple stories and I don't want to talk all the time about CES, but Amazon Auto will now sell you a Hyundai. Did you know that?
I didn't.
They'll sell you
really?
A Hyundai. And so you just go, I watched a walkthrough of one of the guys there from Amazon was given demos and he had a big screen up and he was clicking just like you would click. You click on the car that you want and then you choose the options and, you know, whatever else you want. And you say, okay, this is the car that I want. This is the price. And you can even do your trade-in there.
Nice.
Online, and you can arrange financing, you do everything, you click a button, and the guy said that the price that you see on that screen is the price you will pay. You still have to pick it up at a dealership, but that was kind of cool.
Right. Well, I like it because no haggling. We've gotten used to doing all kinds of things through Amazon. You can even do prescriptions now. Why not buy a car? I love it.
Yeah.
Are any intent to expand that program beyond Hyundai?
Yes, they weren't announcing anything, but it would certainly make sense to expand it to Hyundai's division of
or
Genesis.
Maybe Kia, or go to Kia.
And Kia, and then why not do it? I think it's going to be the future. I think if you've ever bought a car at a dealership, some people have great experiences. A lot of people don't. I think
most people see it as bad as going to the dentist, right? Because you don't know how long you're going to get stuck there. You don't want to get upcharged on things. You want to be able to ask questions, but I think people just don't like to be pushed into doing something they're not quite ready to do.
Yeah, you just get bamboozled for so long and you're sitting there until you're just worn down and you sign anything to get out of there. But now you don't have to do that.
Go to Amazon.
Just go to Amazon Autos and see what they have to say. We're trying at AutoWeek.com. We're trying to figure out a way to get like a piece of that action. You know,
you
buy something on Amazon, buy a link through AutoWeek. So who knows? Maybe we'll all get rich.
Maybe.
All right. So there was a lot of other cool stuff at CES. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything. I don't think I'm missing. Oh, there was an underwater bulldozer.
What?
Komatsu, the tractor making company, or not tractor, the bulldozer. Excavator, front-end loader company, they have the tractor, electric tractor, not tractor, I keep saying tractor. It was like a bulldozer with a scoop on the front, so maybe that's some kind of front-end
like
road.
Like a ditch switch or something.
a tractor vehicle, but it can go 23 feet underwater. And I just thought that was so cool.
You would use that for?
If some city that has a harbor and you have to dredge the channel regularly, you just drive this thing underwater and it's remote controlled.
Work for lakes too. Yeah.
It was cool. Komatsu also had this really cute little tractor that you sit on top of. It's like a toy thing, but it costs $16,000 and it only sells in Japan. All right. I'm taking up all your time, Michelle. Let's move on. Michelle has updates for us.
We wanted to make sure that you were aware of all of these scams that apply to people who drive cars in the LA region, because all of a sudden, this is sort of like, remember when everyone had fax machines and you were getting faxes that were spam before they even invented the word spam? And you had to, you know, somehow deal with it. Okay, well, now we have to deal with texting scams and email scams. And the one that's taking most of the press is the text message that you get saying that you did a naughty thing on the toll road and you didn't pay for your fine or your toll for either LA Metro or down here in Orange County. We have the fast track system. So if you drive on the 10 or the 110 in LA, you can get this Metro pass. And just watch for these. You'll get them either in your texts or in your emails saying that you owe money to the toll road and that if you don't pay your fine using this link that they provide to you, that you're going to incur additional penalties. Do not click on those links because those links will take you to a non-fast track or non-metro site where they're going to ask you for your banking information or your credit card to pay these fines and resolve your issue. Don't fall for those. Okay, then another one.
How can you tell if it's legit?
Well, the reason why is you don't even have to check. The toll roads don't do this. This is not how they deal with people who haven't paid their fine.
They send a mail to you, right?
They send you a letter.
Because we get letters in the mail from those guys.
Yes.
So the scammers don't use mail.
No, they hit you up on your so that you'll do it on your phone, that you'll try to just do something quickly and not think twice about it.
This is good information from our staff attorney, Michelle Spencer. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Always trying to help. Okay, so the second thing to look out for is when you get a text or an email saying that you have a ticket for speeding and that you were speeding in a school zone and that the camera caught you or that the radar caught you. And the dead giveaway on this one is at the very top, it's in sort of an official blue and gold letterhead that says, Judicial Branch of California, California Courts. Well, there is no such thing. Okay, that does not exist.
Okay.
So it's the same setup. It's a phishing scam. It'll tell you that you got busted for doing 20-something in a school zone and that you shouldn't have done that, and now you have to pay these fines, and that you go on this special link and you can handle the problem right now without additional fees and penalties.
It's
don't
like
fall
paying
for that.
Paying your ticket down in Mexico. Just give it to the police officer.
Right. Then the third thing to watch out for is this started off in the city of Riverside during the holidays. You go park your car, and then you're supposed to pay using a QR code. And so you scan the QR code with your phone, and it takes you to the place where you pay for your parking spot, which there is one that is legitimate for the city of Riverside. However, the scammers were printing out fake QR codes and pasting them over the parking the parking instructions that are posted on the street. And so people were doing this where they were scrolling and getting the fake QR code and then paying to a fake account.
Okay. And just in general, if you see QR, scammers can put fake QR code stickers on top of real QR codes in signs and places, right?
Correct. So that's
and
what
if you
happening.
Go to a gas station, always use the don't insert your card, but let it read with it. You know what do you
the
call
tap,
it?
The tap to
tap,
pay.
The tap.
Yes,
to pay.
Use the tap to pay. Yeah, try not to use those QR codes if you can. I know some places, like down here in Newport Beach, they have it like that, where you have to use the QR code to pay on certain streets, and it's really annoying. And half the time, it doesn't work. And I know I was out with some Delta Gammas. We're having lunch out down there one day, and there's four educated, intelligent women here. None of us could figure out if we got it right. So
Delta Gamma, I just want to point out, is a top five house.
Thank you. Oh, good. Better be number one.
All right. Well, was at USC in the 1980s. So
yes, and at UCLA. Yeah.
Ah, UCLA. Well, that's right.
So those are your beware signs for scams.
All right. Good.
And
good.
If you hear of any others, let us know, and
we will
put the word out.
We will let you know. But you also have an update. It's great to have a staff attorney. Oh. You have an update on the legal challenges faced by Michael Jordan and his team or teams in NASCAR. Tell us.
Yes. Okay. Now, this is a serious thing because they're on a roll. 23XI and Front Row Motorsports versus NASCAR. Guess who's winning? 23XI and Front Row Motorsports. So it's really been interesting. They had an application for an injunction, and they wanted the court to take a look at why they needed to be allowed to participate in 2025 racing as a chartered team versus having to qualify every single week to enter the races. The judge agreed with them and let them do this. So basically, they gave them the opportunity to keep all their sponsors, keep all their race car drivers, keep everything intact, pending the outcome of the actual merits of the case. This is just one teeny little slice of the case. But it was very important for them to keep everything as is, pending the outcome of their case, which is trying to make the NASCAR people cave to let them have a different kind of charter than the one that everyone else signed off on. So we will see how that part turns out.
But so they are winning. Is that what you can say?
Yeah, they are. And this, and then another part of the case that they were allowed relief on was they wanted to be able to buy one of those charters that Stuart Haas Racing was giving up, right? Because they're exiting. You know, Stuart's out. They're all gone. They dissolved the whole thing. So they have these two charters up for sale. So Front Row Motorsports is getting one, and 23XI wanted to buy one. And the judge said, all right, yes, this is, looks fine to me, and rubber stamped it. So now they have to try to get the next step, which is official relief from NASCAR to be able to process that entirely. But at least the court is okay with it.
I would say that it sounds like the little man is winning, but how tall is Michael Jordan? He's a very tall dude. So
yeah,
the big man is winning against NASCAR.
So it's interesting. And I wish that they would ask me when they do the reporting on these cases, or somebody who's actually a lawyer who can read a legal document that's filed in court.
Oh, a lot of people getting it wrong.
Mark, it just drives me crazy. The things that they say about what's happening in the courtroom. And it's just, no, you don't understand. That's not what's happening.
Yeah, they don't all have lawyers on staff like the car show does.
That's right.
Is it 23XI or 2311?
2311, yes.
Is that how they say that?
That is how they say that.
I think Michael Jordan hasn't been calling me up to chat, so I don't know. But okay.
It's very funky. It's one way or the other. It's either 23XI or 2311, and I think it's 23XI.
Okay, we'll go
just
with that.
Just to make things difficult.
We'll go with that. And we have time for one more thing, and it's going to be Michelle looked through the Consumer Reports ratings, and you will be amazed who won this.
Right.
The most reliable brand.
So who's the most reliable brand maker OEM for years perennially? Toyota.
Right. Toyota and Lexus.
And who's right behind them? Lexus. Right.
Honda and then Acura.
Correct. Those are always the perennial top one. Well, this year somebody took the crown away from Toyota, and it was Subaru.
No way. Subaru, those rattly things? My GL is still running. Say people in Vermont.
That's right. With 400,000 miles and rode in the snow for 20
seasons.
It has
the same oil that it had when I bought it new.
Darn right.
Darn right.
So
how do they get these rankings? Did they explain that?
Yes. Do I understand it? No. So I'm going to read it.
Okay.
It used the weighted overall problem rate for all models within a brand for each model year. Then the brand reliability score was calculated by averaging models from 2022 to 2024 and some early 2025 data for each brand where there was a sufficient sample size. And there were some cars and OEMs that they could not get data for. So they're not on the list.
I see. Was that, yeah, well, Tesla's on the list, though.
Yeah.
Because usually you can't get Tesla data because Tesla doesn't give it to you. But Consumer Reports members are the ones who provide this data, right?
Correct.
So this is actually, it's skewed a bit by what kind of person, you know, is a member of Consumer Reports. That is a certain subset of the car buying population. So it's a bit skewed. But it's nonetheless a legitimate result here.
Right, because every year they ask the same, they do the same formula.
Yep.
And so it's their own, you know, like you say, customers or members who are doing this ranking. So they score, the highest you could get is 100. And Subaru scored 68, and that was the top score for reliability.
For the lowest, the 20 cars, brands that I'm looking at here, that it was only 20, or they just
22.
Listed top 20? It was
22,
because it doesn't say what the, oh yeah, 22, there you are. And guess who was at the bottom?
Rivian.
At 22? Rivian.
And their score was 14, which is...
14, OMG.
I know, that's kind of disappointing.
Anecdotally, I have heard people say their Rivian is flawless, and I have heard people say, I hate this thing. It keeps crashing, et cetera, et cetera. So who knows? But I mean, my experiences in Rivians, albeit very limited, they've always worked just fine and they seem fine. But 22 brands, Subaru, Lexus, Toyota. This is in order. Subaru, Lexus, Toyota, Honda, Acura, Mazda, Audi, BMW, Kia, Hyundai, Buick, Nissan, Ford, Genesis, Volvo, Chevrolet, Tesla, Volkswagen, Jeep, GMC, Cadillac and Rivian. Boy, Cadillac's down there at the bottom. They got a score of 27. Uh-huh. Oh, man.
Right.
But again, this is from Consumer Reports members. So,
Well, if you would like to go and look at all of the info on this study for 2024, just go to consumerreports.com. And I just did a Google search to find it. And so you just do reliability, like Consumer Reports reliability, and that'll pull it up.
Okay. For further reviews, we're starting the review section now. And we're going to start, usually we have cars here. We're going to start with a movie review because Michelle just saw a very interesting looking movie. What is, on Amazon Prime Video. What was it, Michelle?
Yes. Okay. Now, all of you who are Amazon Prime members, you get movies for free included with your membership. If you go to the Amazon movie section for Prime members only, you will see documentaries. And the movie that I pulled up was called Edith, Porsche's Volcano Ascent,
okay.
A film by William Barber, Nico Mira, and J.F. Musial. And this documentary is about Porsche's... out of Germany, Porsche's sanctioned effort to make a car ascend to a certain number of feet on one of the highest mountain peaks in the world. It's in Chile. And it's the name of the car is Edith, but there's always, a backstory to this. They had sort of a secret committee with Porsche out of Germany that worked on this. Initially, the committee didn't even tell the big shots, the important people, that they were doing this. And they sort of just made a car, they moonlighted and took a car down to Chile. What was their goal? They wanted to try to beat a record that had been set by Mercedes. You may have heard of this. It's the mountain is called Ojos del Salado, and it's a 22,600 feet high peak. And it's almost as high as Mount Everest, not quite. But there was a record sent by the Mercedes Unimog in 2019, and they went to 21,962 feet on this mountaintop. So they wanted to beat that record. There was also, incidentally, a Suzuki record that was a little bit lower. But they really wanted to beat the record set by Mercedes. So here you go. You know, you've got your German car companies gearing up for a challenge.
And we don't want to give it away. We don't want to say if they did beat it or not, do we?
No. But I'll give the name of the gentleman with Porsche who was spearheading the project, if I can pronounce it right. Dr. Frank Stefan Walliser.
Walliser.
Walliser. He's been with Porsche for 30 years.
Say it like you are angry.
And then there's two more, Klaus Zellmer and Jens Kaiser.
Jens Kaiser.
Jens, okay. And
that's how we communicate in Deutschland.
And then there was another fella named Weissach.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Like the town where the test track is from Porsche. Very nice.
Uh-huh, right.
So was it a good movie? Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. Now, was it difficult to deal with? A little bit on the language. Yes. So I turned on subtitles. I had to.
You don't speak German? Or did their English accents were terrible?
That was the problem. It was the English accents were terrible.
Okay.
They tried. They really did. Okay. And then their driver is a French guy, Romain Dumas. So okay. they had a race car driver with them.
Is he the guy who did Pike's Peak?
He is, yes.
Volkswagen ID?
Exactly, and that's why they wanted him, because they wanted someone who was not going to be afraid of the heights.
Right.
Now, most of the movie is actually dealing with the challenges of humans getting up the ascent.
Right.
Because they weren't worried about the car at all.
Right. Altitude sickness?
Yes, altitude sickness. So
yeah,
they had
it's
to
a real
train.
Thing, man. You have to acclimate. Don't just go right up there. Acclimate.
Right. They had to go to a certain level where they had to stay for like a week to acclimate at a camp.
Yeah, sure.
Then they had to make the final push. So it's about an hour-long movie. So it goes fast. And just trying to keep up with what the Germans are trying to say about all the challenges. You know, but it was excellent, and it does have a happy ending.
Okay, good. I read a book that was handed to me by Gentleman Joe Schuback. This is another review called Hot Rods, Trains, and Planes from the Scrapbook of Gentleman Joe Schuback, Drag Racing Entrepreneur. I really liked it. It was fun. It desperately needs a copy editor. he doesn't know what a comma is or paragraph or quotation, but yeah, a lot of great memories in there. Hot Rods, Trains, and Planes by Gentleman Joe Schuback, forward by Big Daddy Don Gartlitz.
I see.
It was a fun book. I enjoyed all the stuff. And, you know, if you've ever met Joe Schuback, he's the nicest guy in the world. He was one of the original slingshot drag racers. He had a lot of crazy crashes and kept going. He could fly airplanes. He started a performance parts business. Then he wrote it all down in this book. So that's
nice.
That's kind of fun.
So there's another couple of things you could do to divert yourself from whatever's going on in your
life.
That's
right. Let's not. Oh, see, people had forgotten about the world outside and how it's on fire. And now let's not bring it back. So, in fact, let's go even farther away into the realm of the $250,000 sedan. That's right. For you people at the car show, I have gone out and tested four different $250,000 sedans. And
why? Because someone had to do it.
Someone had to do it.
I just got
out of the AMG S63e Performance. And so I decided to go back. And in the last year or so, I've driven all of these. So I'm just kind of put together some specs on them. Before that, I drove the Bentley Flying Spur V8 S and also the Maybach S680 4MATIC and the Rolls-Royce Ghost Series 2. And, I tell you. So the prices for these things range. Believe it or not, the AMG was the most affordable at $186,000. $200, and the least affordable, you know, if you have to ask, you're on the wrong radio show.
Mm-hmm.
$352,000 just to start for the Rolls-Royce Ghost. And in between that, the Maybach was 240,500, and the Bentley Flying Spur 241. So, yeah, I drove all of those, and I liked two of them. I really liked two of them. I'm not going to say that I disliked any of them. Any one of these you could live with. So if you're, for our billionaire listeners, actually these would be multimillionaires, because if you were a billionaire, you'd probably go up to like the Rolls-Royce Phantom. But you might also like the Bentley Flying Spur. You'd like all of these. None of them are just, there's no fatal flaw in any of these. The closest of the four that gets to a fatal flaw is, for me, the AMG. But for me, AMGs, the way they're set up, they're heavy. These are all heavy vehicles, right? We're talking about curb weights over 5,000 pounds for all of them. The curb weights range from 51,570 for the Bentley up to 57,200 pounds. So we're talking close to 3 tons of car. And the way that you control all that mass is really the most telling thing, because they all have horsepower, right? They all have from 563 horses all the way up to 791. So the Ghost has only, quote unquote, 563 horsepower from a V12, I might add. And the most horsepower of the lot is the AMG at 791 horsepower out of a twin turbo 4-liter V8. The Maybach also has a V12, so you know I don't want to ramble on here and get down these rabbit holes of spec sheets. I would say that the AMG, if you've driven an AMG, haven't you, Michelle?
No.
What? I'm shocked. Okay, AMG sort of controls all the weight in a very Germanic way. You will not roll. You will not dive. There will be no squat. So it counteracts every motion with a very severe counter motion almost before you make the first motion. And as a result, it feels a bit awkward. It doesn't feel natural, like it's flowing. They do manage that mass, in their case, 5,720 pounds, but they don't do it in a smooth and subtled way. The ones that do that really well, first of all, I will say I took the AMG S63 up Angeles Crest. This was before, of course, the terrible fires that we're seeing now. There, I reminded everybody of the fires. I'm sorry.
Again.
But again, yeah. But I took it up Angeles Crest, and it was, it does it. You know, it's not unpredictable or scary. It's just, and it's not violent, but it's just a severe counter to every bit of input that you try to put into the thing. Oh. I would say the best handling of them was probably the Flying Spur. So that I would, if I was going to pick a winner here, like if I just had to own one to drive around city streets, I would take the Rolls-Royce Ghost. But again, that's 352,000. But prices don't even matter in this segment. I mean, I'm the one who's not buying an ID Buzz because it's $71,000. So here I'm complaining about, you know, $100,000 price differentiation. But I think the Flying Spur, the V8S that I had, the color it was in was verdant, by the way. I would say that would be my favorite. Not only did it have 771 horsepower, just 20 shy of the class-leading AMG S, but it also got to 60 in 3.3 seconds, which is the same as the AMG S63. And it seemed far more natural doing it. Now, I've been lucky enough to drive a lot of Bentleys. I just got back from Europe, driving a Continental GT Speed over there, and that felt really good too. I think it's interesting that Bentley can do such a good job with everything, and they certainly did a good job with the Flying Spur. It is a very big, long car. It sits on 125, almost 126 inch wheelbase, 209 inches overall, which is, you know, that's almost the same as the everything else in the class. It's within a few inches. They're all within a few inches of each other. So I must say I did enjoy the flying spur a lot. The Maybach also was not as severe as the AMG S63. It is set up a lot more comfortably, a lot more for comfort, as you would expect a Maybach to be. So I'm going to go, if you're in this class, flying spur all the way. What is your take, Michelle? Do you agree with my assessment?
Having been in one recently, yes. I actually was in the same one, the Verdant.
Were you now?
Color, yes.
You had the same car. Oh, well, what was your take on it? So you didn't even know that when I picked that one as the winner.
No.
So that's it. We have an unbiased opinion from an automotive expert there, folks.
There you go. And they did everything right for their customer, right? Everything that customer would want is there. And nothing more, right? Total luxury, handmade, you know, ride smooth. You don't hear a thing outside. Nothing. You could roll up those windows and it's just heavenly in there.
Did you sit in the back seat at any time?
Both, yes. Yeah. Front and back, yes. And it's luxury in the back. I was going to ask about the Maybach. Was it set up for the chauffeur, or was it one that you'd drive yourself?
Either one. Whatever you want to do, however you want to do that,
right.
You could.
Because the Flying Spur, I felt, was for you driving yourself around town, not being driven.
I think the Flying Spur, you could also be driven.
Okay.
And the same with the Rolls-Royce Ghost. The AMG S, obviously, it's probably more for the driver. But and the Rolls-Royce, I never really pushed that hard. I've gotten to drive a few of those over the last most recent years. This new Series 2 has a 6.75 liter V12. It feels so nice. And after I got in the Rolls-Royce Ghost, I also got to drive the Rolls-Royce Spectre, which is a two-door, so it's not in this category of sedans. But boy, that thing. That I think we reviewed it here on the show. That is the culmination of how many years has Rolls-Royce been around?
120, I think.
Yeah, right? 120 years of seeking this perfection, this perfect ride. And the Spectre, of course, is electric. And so I don't want to say floats, but it
floats.
So long. Yeah, it was so nice. So, but the Flying Spur out of these four, Michelle and I both agree. So see your Bentley dealer now. Tell them the car show sent you. Get the car show discount.
Well, there are people out there who, you know how it's the same thing with motorcycle fans. You want that brand. So if you really love Rolls-Royce, then check out the Ghost or the Spectre. Okay. If you love AMG, go down there and check out the AMGs. But, you know, as far as what we think...
We're down to 1 minute to go on the show here.
All
right. 1 minute to go.
We hope all is well with
again, we hope we send out all the best to everybody out there. Those who have lost so much. We hope that we have provided a little bit of entertainment, a lot of information, some opinion. We hope that everything works out for you out there in the radio.
And stay away from those scammers.
Stay away from the scammers. Go to autoweek.com, read all my stories, click on them at least 30 or 40 times each whenever there's a new story coming up. That's all I ask.
Right. And join us on Facebook, too. We're on the car show at 90.7 FM. Beware of imposters.
And stick around for Rhapsody in Black, a wonderful show about music you didn't know you liked. It's coming up right after this one. We're down to 4 seconds, and we will see you next week here on The Car Show.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles. This is Hal Lohr with the latest wildfire update for this hour. Firefighters were able to make progress overnight against nearly all of the ongoing fires across Southern California, including the massive Palisades and Eaton fires, according to officials earlier today. But gusty winds are expected to pick up again this weekend and possibly through Wednesday, according to the National Weather Service. Forecasters say the worsening conditions will keep wildfires an ongoing threat and potentially cause power outages in Los Angeles and Ventura counties as the fire continues into the week. In more hopeful news, LA County officials announced Saturday they have changed the county's alert and notification system depart with the state's ABLE system, making the adjustment as they investigate the root cause behind the false evacuation alerts sent to more than 10 million Angelenos earlier this week. Los Angeles County has also declared a public health emergency, warning for smoke and particulate matter that pose immediate and long-term health threats. For the full warning and list of recommendations, current evacuation orders, and other warnings can be found at watchduty.com.